you think about what could be.
Yeah, but you said there's no connection with human beings.
No.
Only birds, fish, and...
I didn't say. We're holding on Doc Memphis, but I think we still have to finish up the sugya from Mem Zion on the base. And some people seem to have run out of steam yesterday. So remember that yesterday we had a machlokus about how to understand the Mishnah's maimer of Harei Shenikvo Shekhosra. Because before the chisaron has to be a chisaron mebifnim, otherwise it would only be nikva for with chaser. So it must be that there's a different psuluk of chisaron mebifnim. If there's a psuluk of chisaron mebifnim, then all of the cases that we had about a reya whose contents became liquefied or hardened, and all of the cases which we're going to have in that direction, should be possible because of chisaron mebifnim. However, we saw yesterday that Ula explained the Mishnah that the Osha Chosor was only necessary Alib the Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a Nekev has to go down to the Beit HaSampunot, but if not, then even a Nekev would be kosher in the Reya. So according to him, we need to know that a Chisorin, but a Chisorin Mibachut, is worse than a Nekev, and it doesn't have to puncture all the way into the Beit HaSampunot. In that case, we have a lot of other types of tzuvim that might be kosher too. Yesterday we spoke about the liquefaction, and Rav explained it's dafka if there wasn't any ruination of the bronchia. The Gemara continues today, and the one line up from the bottom, Omrim Nachman Reya Shinimuka, that if you have a Reya that has an empty space in it, but it'll inflate, but it doesn't have any sponge there. So in other words, there's no tissue there. But the outside, yeah, the krum shalakayan, the outside is kayan. It's kosher, obviously. This again has to be based on chisar mebifnim being kosher. Because if chisar mebifnim is not kosher, then how could this be kosher? Tanya nami hofi reya shenimuka. If you have a place that has become empty of tissue, the krum shalakayam, as long as the outside membrane is still around, afilu machazeket revi'it kishera, even if the hole is so big that it'll hold a revi'is halug, it still is kosher. Nitla shalfuchit shela kishera. Now here's an interesting machloket, because the shalfuchit is a reference to the uterus. I believe there is a picture on. We've got the pictures ready here. Which book is that? The art. Oh, the art. I definitely recall seeing. Here it is, on page 64. Here is the shalfuchit. Okay, this is the uterus. Now, if you look at the uterus grossly, the bladder is attached. It seems to be part of it. Obviously, it's not. But you have shalfuchit, also referring to shalfuchit ashetem, which is the bladder. Shalfuchit just means a sack that holds things, and that can get filled. So the question is, what about, he's saying over here that the shalfuchit is no problem of removal. And Tosis points out that this is a reference specifically to the uterus, not to the bladder, and that in fact, a bladder, even if it has a hole in it, and if it's nitel as well, is treif. In which case, he's bothered by the fact that it isn't listed in the treifus. And he suggests that maybe it's included in the docking. In other words, the entire elimination system, so to speak, even though it isn't really directly part of digestion, but it would also be called docking, because after all it's attached through docking. Okay, there are other Rishonim who say that that's been trying to be Mysipalatrapus, because how could we extend docking to include the Gisashetin? So it is a Machlokas Rishonim as to what the status is of the shalfuchit hasheten, as opposed to the shalfuchit, which is normally called aim. The uterus being called the aim itself. So there's three words for it, we'll see later on. It's either called a tarpahat, Kishafuchit and the aim. Kishafuchit is confusing because it could also refer to the gland. Hituliya kaveit shala, I wonder if there are worms in the liver. Zahaya ma'ase, they had a ma'asim like this, where there were flukes. The other one bnei Asya shalosh regalim liyavne, and the people that had the shiloh, who were bnei Asya, they lived in Asia, they came up with three regolim. There's an interesting Rashi in Yavamas. Rashi says that the when it refers to these regolim, it's not referring to the regolim ali and the rega, but regolim were yard sites that they used to make for the gedolim that were nifter. And they had a minute to have every year on the regal, this is a remnant of yard sites over here, on the regal to bring everybody together from the Talmidim and to be Meshiva, Yeshiva, Al Kivram, and to learn that day in their sus. Very interesting mucker for our minute. And so three times, no, different people, so three times when they had these meetings, where all the Chachamim gathered together, it's a good opportunity to, it's like a conference, like a scientific conference, you know, you get together all of the experts, and they brought up this liver, and it was like a lot of doubts about how to view it, whether it was considered to be, basically it was going to end up being Chaser Kuloi, because obviously there's no particular Pagam or Pitliya. The regal shlishi, and indeed at the third time that they came up, and they were matir. Just a fluke. Omar Rav Yosef bar Minyumi Omar Rav Nachman Rea Asmuchala Dofen Ein Choshishima. If you have until now we've been talking about a rea that has a adhesion, a sircha, to another part of the rea. Rashi learns over here that the case of Asmucha L'Dofen is not that there is a sircha, but rather that the rea itself is stuck to the dofen, which implies sometimes you get this sheet, which is essentially a long sircha that will stick something up against something else. It looks like a piece of fat that's covered to a yoni. And over here, the problem is that we have a big chashash, because normally, as we pointed out earlier, the lung hangs rather freely in the rib cage to give it room to expand. In this case, we open it up and we find we can't pull the lung off of the rib cage. So it's smuch al adofen. Other Rishonim speak out clearly that this doesn't mean only that it would be in the case which it itself is right up against, but even if we're talking about just a sircha that's going between the lung and the rib cage, in choshishima, you don't have to choshish in this case that the problem of the sircha is because the rea has a problem, because it's just as likely perhaps to be saying that there's some kind of problem on the ribs, and maybe it was damaged, and there was a sircha that grew out of the edge, and indeed attached the lung to it, rather than the lung attaching itself to the dolphin. So you can rely on that, because remember, after all, the entire issue over here is anyway, according to most, a suffix. As a matter of fact, the Ron learns that that's good for the machlokas over here, whether you have to be chayish, whether the din of the sircha is that there's a suffix, that there's a hole there, in which case here it's a sveik sveika, because even if there is a maka that caused this sircha to grow, it might be a maka in the dofen rather than in the rea. So first of all, is it a sircha maka samaka? And even if it is, maybe the maka was in the dofen. So we're not going to be mazik or reyesa. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it. On the other hand, if we see that there's all kinds of pus-filled blisters around the area where it's attached, and have it on the lung, that's very suspicious. Mashma'ut is that there was indeed something wrong with this lung, and that the sircha is a result of whatever it was that's causing these same tzmachim. So then, choshishimla, whereas Mar Yehuda, Mishmedi Adini Amar, Echad Zev, Echad Zev, choshishimla. We always have to be choshish. So one shot of the run is But that's good for the machlokas. What do we look at as a suffik or as a sveik sveik? If you hold that a sirka is vadai a nekev, and you have one suffik, was the nekev in the lung or was the nekev on the dolphin? So you have to be machmir. The other way of learning it is whether he holds that the fact that it's more likely that adhesions come from the lung than that they come from the dolphin is a reason you can't be samech on the dolphin. It's something like a suffik of high suffik mentioned they bother. But it's very nimtza that a lung should grow tzirchus, and not nimtza that the dolphin should grow tzirchus. And anyway, you can't be samech on the dolphin. So the Ran offers that as an alternative explanation. So, echi abdian, you say choshishin. Choshishin, in other words, that it's not 100%. So, what can you do, in fact, to see the bodek whether there is a problem in the lung? And what you do is, Omar Rava, Ravin Bar Shva, really, Ravin Bar Shva was kind enough to explain to me what you do. My sinan sakina de cholish kume. You bring a knife. It's interesting, Machlokas, but a cholish kume comes from Lashon of Chalash, meaning that it's not very sharp, and therefore it's smooth. So it's like having a rounded tip, so you could peel away the membrane without tearing. Or whether as Rashi learns, cholish means on the contrary, it's very thin. It's a very weak tip because it's been sharpened so much, and that way you can cut straight through. And if you're careful, you won't cut the membrane itself. And mefarkinan, you pull the two apart, the dolphin from the tissue attached to the dolphin. See, ikareus of a dolphin, if you could see underneath where it was attached to the rib cage, that there seems to be bleeding, there's something wrong there that would have caused this adhesion to grow. So then you could be samech on the dolphin. But if not, you're going to have to assume, there's no indication there's a problem on the rib cage. So then you're unfortunately going to have to be tailored in the rea, machmas rea, and therefore it's treva. Now the next words, afagav deloka mafka zika, don't seem to belong here because they tend only in one direction, as we'll see in a moment. There's a five-way machlokas. We've shown you how to learn the next words, and obviously did not have the gears afagav deloka mafka zika, and indeed the Bach takes those words out.
Even if you don't see anything on the lung itself?
Right. Okay. Reb Nachman, the Rav Yosef, bodik bishure. Now, Reb Nechemia himself, he said that when you take, and again, this is Rashi's pshat, you can see right away, it's not clear. Is this an alternative? You don't have to take it off? Is it, even if you took it off and you did find a reus in the dolphin, you'd still have to vote again? Is it, if you take it off and don't find a problem in the dolphin, then you could still do this bedika of putting it into water and blowing it up? So it's the same. There's many different ways of learning what Rabbi Nechemia is saying. But Rashi's shot is that after pulling it off, even when you do find a breyasa in the dolphin, you still have to go ahead and check the lung. So it's according to Rashi, Rabbi Nechemia is a chumrah, and he's adding, in addition to this, I'm saying there is no way, really, to just be samech on the fact that you found a reus in the dolphin. You also have to check the lung just in case. Okay, others learn the other direction. That this is even if you don't find, you can be makel if you check the lung, and of course this would be similar to our kula, the Ramah's kula, about being mamashmesh asiratha, see if it comes off, which is similar to what you do over here. And then you take Rabbi Nechemia's test, and you say, okay, if it's also not mevatzveit, then you can rely on the fact that this wasn't really a siratha, this was a rear, just a mucus hafrasha. So he would be bodek labekshuret. Omar leimar zut breder of winner breder of papa ravina. Hunter of Nechemia breder of Yisva tell ahamat nitula. That's interesting. You learn this ma'isa of Yevram Nechemia's bedika that he would check it surely afterwards on this sugya, and we learn it on the case of Rava, not the Rava Masnina, on the case of the normal Sirka, where Rava said, Amar Rava Hani Tarte Uni Dureya the Srikam Adade less lobadikusalakshri. So Rava said, there's nothing you can do to be makshir, a sirka that goes shaloka sirka, where it's going to be pulled apart. And we learned that on that Rav Nechemya said, that Rav Nechemya, Bereza Rav Yosef, Bodek Lo Bipshurim, that he would test the case of a sirka between two lobes of the lungs, he would test Bipshurim. Asks the Gemara Maskev Lo Rav Ashi, I don't understand how you could possibly learn Rav Nechemya is referring to the case of Rava. Hi, my, what kind of nonsense is that? Bishlei Mahachman, in our case it makes sense, because in our case you could say that since one possibility is that the sirka comes from the dolphin, and if it comes from the dolphin it's not a problem, so let's check the lung and see if it bubbles. But in the case where the sirka touches the lung in two places, what are you checking for? What's the difference where the problem was, in location A or location B? You're still not going to be able to be samech on the fact that it's not bubbling now. You're going to have to assume that there was a krum, sholamach makabareya, shena krum. And therefore, that's exactly what Rava was saying, is that there's no way to be bodek it. So therefore, haitana haiman, bishle mahok. I mean, in our case, talinan bedofen, if you don't find bubbling coming out of the lung, you can say, all right, must be, or it's more reasonable to assume it was coming from the rib cage. But that's why it would be kosher. Abel Hassam, in the case over there, of Rava's case, who cares where the neck of is? Either way, it's great. Now, you're certain, again, I mean, this touches on, we'd have to learn in different ways, depending on how we're understanding the sirka. If the sirka is vadai, that there is a nekev, is a suffix that it's a nekev, is it that it's going to be a nekev, is the nekev already begun, the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns it. But in any case, we're going to have to say either that the nekev is already there, so what's the difference? It's only krum sholamach mesmakabere, or the nekev isn't there yet, so how would you know where the nekev was going to be anyway? What nafkamina would it make? And so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, now, you just said that in the case where there were blisters that were filled with pus around it, so then it would vadai betray, because then you have to be tailored the sirka in the lung. That doesn't make sense, because the problem is, even if there is a sirka in the lung, this is obviously a place where the lung is up against the ribcage. But if the lung is up against the ribcage, then the ribcage seals the hole. And that's Gufa Reb Nachman's own shita of Amar of Yosef, I mean, Yom Reb Nachman, Rea Shenikva V'dofen Sot Matak Shira. So what would be the point of saying, let's check and see whether it's coming from the lung or from the side? And if we find that there's some type of mugla, there's pussy blisters on the lung, then it's definitely from the lung. Even if we know for a fact it's from the lung, it's still going to be kosher according to him, because the dolphin seals the hole. And it says the Gemara lo kasha, hatan b'makom revita, hakasha lo b'makom revita. It depends. In a place where normally the lung is jammed up against, that's towards the head, so it's jammed up against the rib cage. So then in a chinami, that's makom revita, that's the place where it grows that way, so that it keeps it sealed. Over here, however, the case is that it isn't in a place which should normally be that close to the rib cage. It's gotten stuck with this adhesion. Normally it would have hung further away. So akashalom makom revita. And therefore, we don't say in that case that the dolphin is sotain. The whole point of sotain is where something is always kept pushed up against something else, but in its normal position. And where is that? Vehecha makom revita. Up to what point do you view the rib cage being close enough to the lungs that it actually would seal it up? Makom v'chatichu di'uni. And we saw yesterday, I think it was a very nice or maybe that was in the art school picture that you showed me, where you can see the lung pressed straight up. I think it was in the art school. You could see the lung pressed up against the rib cage. We don't have a nice picture like that here, as they removed the lungs in all of these pictures. Yeah. So here you can see, here's the rib cage, and the unoids are up here, up against where the rib cage narrows, and so the lung is pressed up against it. So this is the situation where it says lobes here. What are, in Hebrew it says, what is it say? Yeah, unoids. So see, it's pointing to the unoids right over here, down at the bottom of this heart-like picture. Yeah. So that is the mark of chituche de uni. Look how much tighter it's pressed in against the ribs on that side. Well, it's not upside down. I mean, we always hang the animal. The animal's upside down. The picture's right side up.
So we're also talking about the area where the gid would be on the other side. The gid, that whole area, would be the same thing, even higher up.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Where it attaches to the spine on the back.
That's not what's important then. All we want to know is where it's close to the dolphin. Gufa. Omer of Yezebam and Yumi Omer of Nachman. Let's get this. This is very troublesome. You're saying that if there's a hole in the lung, then because it's up against the rib cage, now it's kosher. Man, that's the first time I heard anything like that. Reish enigma v'dolphin zot matak shira. Now, Ravina comes along now, and there's a question as to whether Ravina is an explanation. Ravina is arguing. That just proves that Ravina seems to be arguing based on the way that his words are brought elsewhere. And Ravina is saying, Vahudis Sovet with Bisra. This is only if the point where the Rea has a hole is not up against bone, it's not up against the ribs directly, it's against the muscles that are between the ribs, and there the buster is soft enough to close up that hole, but a bone is not going to close it up. Omerle Rav Yosef or Ravina. Rav Yosef Tainet Ravina. What are you saying? You're saying that the ilos of ichmai. So if it's not really mixed with the buster, then you're saying that it's a nekuva. So then iachiki sovich nami. Then what good would it be if it is sabich? The Tanya nike pasul mifnei sheishu shoteit nistam kasher mifnei shu molid v'zehu psur shekozer lehekshiro. Now remember, we had the whole question before of the krut shofcha, in which we analyzed what's unique about the sealant of a penis that's different from the sealant of any other psul. So over there we say, the problem over there is a logistical problem. If there's a hole, so then there's always going to be a question of dribbling, and there's not going to be a good ejaculate that will cause him to be able to be melid. If it's nistam, then there's no problems. What do we care whether it has a din? It's not that there's a din of a hole the way there is in a lung. There's simply a din in having the correct equipment for reproduction. So if lamaisa, there's something that's going to hold now the area sealed so that there will be a yorekechet, so be a strong ejaculation. So then there'll be mylit. So that's a psur shepozelech shero. But the stress on zehu, the Gemara darshans, is dafka this. In other words, if there's a technical problem of a hole, such as an ilchus trefus, it's not going to help you to hold the whole shot. Oh. So what is that referring to? Where won't it help you to hold the whole shot? Here? Because that's what it's saying. In other words, don't compare a case of a lung that has a hole just because it's up against a rib cage to the case of a crucial foe. But there, it's just a logistical issue, and here it's more. So, lamute mai dezeu, mai lav lamute kai gavna. Isn't it coming to tell me that if you're holding a hole closed in a lung, you can forget about it? That's not going to be a way out of trapez. Does anyone know? Not necessarily. It could be only come to the mamaya de krum shalom achmes makabrea de eno krum. The krum that would have grown, so you have a membrane that is attempting to seal it. There it's saying, a membrane that comes up is not strong enough to really maintain the integrity of the lung. But that doesn't mean if you've got something there, such as the dolphin that's pressed up against it, maybe that's perfectly okay. So that's not akasha. But what bothers Ravukva Barchama is Matkila Ravukva Barchama, so then you're saying the craziest thing. Because now it turns out we have a new trefer. Let's say that we have a hole through the ribcage. And that hole in the ribcage would now allow the hole in the rea to be open to outside the ribcage. So then that should also be a trefer. Because it's only because the rib cage is intact that the rea is intact. So now, if that's the case, ilu inkiv bedofen laded. So now, if there would be a hole through the rib cage into the rea, my, what are you saying then? That then it would be a trefa. So then, listening to kuvas hadofen. Because in other words, what you're saying now is like this. I asked you for the case of Khrushchev. So you're telling me, no, if you hold something shut, so then fine, then it's shut. What do you think? It's magic. If it's held shut, it's held shut. But it's not the shut, because there's something there, so the krum that grows there is kosher. That's not the point. So if that's the case, if it isn't held shut, there's a way to get through it, there's a way for air to penetrate the rib cage. So then you have a trefa. So then why doesn't it say in the Mishnah, Nekuvat Hadofen? So he said, what kind of silly question? This is the time, I mean, when Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan before, nobody disagreed over there. Mora Shenikva. In the case you have a gallbladder that has a hole, and the liver is up against the gallbladder and seals the hole. So it says over there that it's kosher. So why don't you ask a question? Oh, so if there'd be a hole in the liver and next to the place of the gallbladder, so that the trefa should say a trefa called a hole in the liver. Did that bother you? And we didn't say, Ilu inkiv kaved la'ada. So my trefa, you should have asked, lifnei nekuvat kaved. Why doesn't it say a hole in the liver? Obviously the answer is clearly that ki nikva delav mini mitrefa lo katani, where the nekuva is in an organ that happens to be serving the function of stitches or something. I mean, that's not called a trefa of that organ. It's included in the nekuva of the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is in the gallbladder. The fundamental problem is in the lung, not in the rib cage. The rib cage, you might as well say that they put a piece of pumpkin over it and then a hole in a pumpkin. So call a hole in a pumpkin a trefa. We'll see later on they actually use a pumpkin to it. For taking the place of a skull that was broken. So obviously we look to the primary problem and not to the secondary problem. So since over here the trephus isn't coming because of problems in the ribcage, so we're not going to list it as a separate trephus. Lokatan. Boy, mine Rabba Bar Chana Mishmula. How about the very fact that a lung has in it these blisters filled with pus on the surface, without there being a hole? So the and even if we hold kisaron mibifnim lav kisaron, but the question is this essentially an akuva? Is it going to ultimately destroy the krum of the rea? Amalek Shera. No, what's the problem? There's no hole there. We don't have any reason to say that smachim are themselves in the kuva. The situation we had before by Surucha Ladofen, as Tosis points out, that was only a sinan that the Sirucha, when it was held that smachim, that the Sirucha was coming from the Reha, doesn't mean that the smachim themselves were a problem. Amalek Shera says, I'll tell you the truth, I thought the same thing. And guys in yeshiva are driving me crazy. I find the American. Elashra Talmidim is danzin b'davar. They keep laughing their chinik. Because the Omer of Matzna, Moya Mugla Trefa, they say to me, what about with Master's mind? That if you have a cyst that's full of pus, it's trefa. Mine's a kin, if it's a blister that is just filled with lymphatic fluid, so that is kosher. So I don't know what to think. So And apparently there is such a thing as a cyst on the surface of the lung. Well, Marlene said, I wasn't talking about lungs, I was talking about kidneys. That was our motive master's minor. They're absolutely right. But that has nothing to do. That has to do with the din of Lakusa. And that's a din in the cloya, not in the lungs. Itmar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm sorry, Itmar, period. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, because of Basu, the Rav Yirmiyahu Hashuka the Tafsi. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef was tagging along, following Rav Yirmiyahu. I think it was a good way to ask all of his shadows to walk by the butcher shop. They got stuff hanging over there. So Chazinu Lahanav the Kaimin et Simchi Simchi. And he sees these lungs hanging over there, and they're covered with these blisters filled with pus. So he says, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, wouldn't you like a piece of meat? Hello, boy, my room, son. You didn't have any meat at home, did you? How about if I buy you a little bit of meat? Let's read through that. I don't have any cash. I'll use my credit card. You're going to get a sock out of these people, you know. he said, I give up my look. I got nothing, no way to escape you. But I'll tell you, if he asked the commander of Yochanan, when they would bring a lung like that to Rabbi Yochanan, he refused to pass. And he would send it to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon had a Kabbalah from Rabbi Loz Rabbi Shimon that it was mutter. So he didn't want to cause people to upset him. So he would say to Mariba Mishmei, the Rabbi Loz Rabbi Shimon left there, but Rabbi Yochanan himself wouldn't eat it. You want to know what, that's the situation, is it's out to be martyred. I'm certainly not going to eat it, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't eat it, so use your credit card in some other restaurant. You have to help other people. Machron himself. You sure? Machron yourself and not on others? Omar Rav. Rav said, I used to tag along after Rav Nachman. So, if you have a maskina, Basid Rav Nachman, Beshukah de Gulgoya, we were walking through the shoe shuk we have right over here at the end of the street. We have the shukah de Gulgoya over here in the old city. We have a Beshukah de Rabbanan. Some called it Beshukah de Rabbanan. That's where the city times maybe had a little shul there. There were some that were Canadian type ones, and actually the Russian of Kanodi is like a node, meaning they're very large and impressive looking cysts, which was all over the top of the lung.
Like a hockey puck.
And he didn't say anything. He didn't tell them, take it down. You can't sell this stuff. It's strafers. And Rabami and Ravasi were walking through the shuk in Tveria, and they saw lungs, the kind of tinri. What's a tinri is that it's kasha kisela, and those are very large, even larger than nodim. And Rashi says, interesting, says that this was very mutsui in his area, and their animals, they used to have this all the time, that the reis would be covered with this. And they didn't say that was a problem either. It's making it clear that this is not a tomb. A tomb is from within the lung. This is under the surface of the upper membrane of the lung, so that it's swollen and it's filled with pus.
It's still inside the normal lung.
Inside the lung is blowing up normally and so on. It wasn't a tomb, so it wasn't a shaila maybe that it was going to end up decaying or anything. And he also says it's not a problem, as you will often find lungs that have a lot of infections, and that's part of the game. But unless it's something that we know causes a nekuva, since we don't paskin kisarim b'difnim, we paskin makuva, there's no problem over here, even if it would have a kisarim b'difnim, as long as it's not something that's ultimately going to decay the membrane itself around the lungs, it's kosher.
When a person would prepare these, they would scrape these things off? I mean, they're not.
What do you mean, to prepare the food of the lungs? You're talking about? As food? I'm sure it was not very appetizing. Rashi doesn't say how they prepared it for me. The FDA stopped it. used to be a big, whatever the kid is. I think it's the FBA. It used to be a big thing. I remember we used to serve it all the time. And then they stopped it. In America, I don't know here.
It's a
disease.
Why would they have stopped it?
I guess there was a lot of unhealthy pollution that was doing this.
Would this affect the prostate? Because it's inside the lung and inside everything?
No. What is only that issue? Looking for a nice picture.
Because a cow is relatively inactive, do they particularly have these problems with their lungs?
Sorry?
What is the reason that a cow in particular has these problems with the lungs?
It's not a cow problem.
All right, but just in general, though, if
people also, people's lungs look awful.
Especially
smokers and people that grew up in polluted areas. You know, it's that whole, what they call the secondary smoke problem. Lungs are very sensitive to this kind of thing. Liver you can buy still. Respiratory diseases are still today the fundamental problem with large animals, especially in the closed barns and everything. Those respiratory diseases cause a lot of problems in the lungs. Even not house pollution. There's a lot of sickness, pneumonias and things like that.
That's passed on to the human. If you eat it,
mad cow disease is not an organism, so it's not going to help you cook it.
A mad cow would probably be
socialist. A mad cow probably would be socialist. Here's the Gemara. Itzma. Makach nimtzet b're'a. You find a metal needle. Find a metal needle in the lung. Now, this is really weird. The first thing clearly is that wherever metal is sitting on tissue, it eats away the tissue. So there's definitely going to be a fissurum in a place where this metal was. That apparently is not a problem because as we said before, fissurum. Maybe it's named Loshim. If you saw it, the Gemara will tell us over here. However, our question is, where the heck did it come from? So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, they say it's kosher, meaning that we can assume that this crazy animal inhaled a needle. And it got stuck there. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Mani bar Patish, and Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yaki, Tarfeh. They held that you cannot assume that it was aspirated, but rather that it actually punctured its way in there through the veshet as it was swallowing or something like that, because it's so unusual that you would be able to actually end up with a needle coming through the corner without it being coughed out and so on, that it's just not something that we assume. So let me welcome you for me. Shall we say the machlokes is the marsav chisar mebifnim shmei chisar and marsav lo shmei chisar? Is the question of here whether, in other words, if you say it's treif, then it's because of the fact that since it's a needle, it's eaten away some of the lung tissue and therefore it's possible because of that? No, says the Gemara. That's not reasonable because we said before that all the cases we had, the Nishpacha Kikita, the case where there was his face missing, and we took those for granted. Apparently, we were learning the Mishnah the way we were always learning the Mishnah. That Kisaron Mibitvim Lashma, Kisaron, and the word Kisaron in the Mishnah was only to explain, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't need a Kisaron, Nekuva all the way down to the Sampunais. So it's unreasonable to say that that's a machlokes. Therefore, the Gemara says, they're not arguing about whether the very fact that there's a needle there itself is absurd. The machlokes is, where did it come from? One Mandayama holds, it went through the bronchial tubes directly from the cornea, and therefore didn't puncture anything. So what's the problem? Umar Sabar Nikuve Nokivasa. Whereas the Rabbanan Shrupoi, the ones who hold that it was straight, they say it's very unusual that that's the way a machat should get in. It was probably swallowed, and then it actually cut through the veshet or somewhere, I mean, maybe the intestines, the stomach, but in all of those places, a hole is going to be matrified and ended up in a place where it's close enough to the lung and worked its way into the lung. Yeah, there's places we saw. There's many places where this could happen.
But it came into the kana to the veshet, not to the
anus. Came in from the veshet.
From the
veshet. Yeah, it could have come in from
many. The lungs. Wouldn't that be okay?
If what?
If it came in from the veshet to the kana.
No, wouldn't be okay. Ahii makta dishtakaf befitucha de rea. In other words, they had an actual shiloh that had a piece of rea. Now here, this is more complicated, because you have a piece of rea that has a makat in it. You cannot check the outside of the rea to see whether there's a hole in it, and then you would know that it came in through that hole, and then you would know that it's straight. In other words, the case we have a whole rea over here, and you were cutting up the rea, you find a makat. Okay, so now you look at the surface of the lung. Gee, there's no hole. It must have come through the cornea. Whereas the Rabbanan Shrupoi is saying, you know, you're just not seeing the hole. It's gotten closed up or whatever. Because it may be sealed a krum that isn't a proper krum. Yeah, that's totally true. But sometimes you can see these things underneath. So in a case where you have a piece of lung, it's more complicated. Because a piece of lung, you don't know. Maybe if you would have the whole lung here, you would have seen a hole. And then you wouldn't have had the shiloh to be tail on now. So they had this question in a piece of lung. And they took the shiloh. Right. I saw the coming to Rabbami. They brought it to Rabbami. And Rabbami wanted to be marshaled like the shita over here of Rabbi Yochanan. Did we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan? Could negate Rish Lakish. So he wanted to be marshaled. Reb Yirmiyah asked him, or something, Reb Zreika asked him, what are you going to do about the Mishnah? Areya shenikva shechosra. The Torah, that chosra means it's on the bifnim, and since there's a metal thing in the lung, it must have been a fisarin. So my chosra, lema mi bachutz, if the fisarin is mi bachutz, that's the equivalent of the kuva. Ela lav mi bifnim, so it must be that the fisarin is mi bifnim. Shema bina fisarin mi bifnim, shmei fisarin. We already know the answer. Right. I mean, the answer to this is that this was only set up either Rabbi Shimon, and that in Okinami there is no separate. So this is how Ula answered the Mishnah. We were perfectly happy with that. But they weren't familiar with it, right? Rabbi Yirmiyah wasn't familiar with that conversation. Lemaisa, not because of this kasha, but Lemaisa, Rabbi Ami in the end decided he's not going to be marshaled, and he sent another shadru l'kami to Rabbi Yitzchak Nach. So he refused to be marshaled. They sent it to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He also was going to be marshaled. So Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zreika again asked him from the mission, asked him also, Areya shenikva shechosra, my chosra, ilami mi bachutz, hanu nikva, elalav mi bifnim, shmami nakasar mi bifnim, shmati saron. So he discouraged them also from paskening on it. So then what they did is they sent it back, and it came back now to Rabbami. And he said, well, it's treif. So they said to him, I mean, why are you saying it's treif? I mean, what about Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Hanina? I mean, those are all pretty good reasons to be mashe. They said if there's a needle in the lung, it's kosher. V'harabonan makshere. So he said, Amar lehem, nup, ehem ekshiru sheyodim yezetam ekshiru. They were makshere because, and they know why they were makshere. Why were they makshere? Because they had the whole lung in front of them. They looked at the lung. There was no hole in the lung. So they said, look, if it's a question of saying that there must have, yes, been a hole and that it was sealed, versus saying that it was aspirated by the animal, no, we'll rely on the fact that it was aspirated and came in through the cone and therefore didn't cause any problems. But me, How can I be moksha? Anan mi'edita, I'm not sure. How am I going to rely on what? And be moksha? Here we have a straight out question. Is it more reasonable to assume that the animal swallowed this thing or aspirated this thing? I don't have any indication in the lungs one way or the other. I don't have the whole lung. You bring me a piece of lung. And then you ask me to be moderate the same way they were moderate. It's certainly more logical that an animal swallows things than an aspirates them. So I can't be moderate. Deal me, Javi Rea, come on. How do I know if I didn't have the lung right here in front of me? Maybe I would find an obvious hole in it. Minkiva. So what are you saying? You're saying time of the lesson? See, you're saying the only reason that you don't want to be makshut, you're saying it's trafe, is because there's no lung. But if you would have had the lung in front of you, below minkava, you would not have found any holes in it. You would have said it's kosher. I got a problem for you, Stam. Even assuming that you don't see a hole, Omer of Nachman hai sampuna the rea the inkiv trefa. Let's assume for a moment that it went through the kana, okay? But now it's in the lung itself. So that means that it made a hole through the edge of the sampunot. Reb Nachman says that indeed a sampuna derea that has a hole in it is trafe. And that it's not the same as a kona. Once it's inside, what we view is essentially every lung, every lobe, says Reb Nachman, is a lung. If there's a hole in the bronchium of that lung, so that's a hole that's basically in a lung. So why isn't this anyway going to be possible? No, ulchavero itmar. That's talking about where the sampon had a hole, not into the meaty portion of the lung, the spongy portion of the lung. Spongy portion of the lung is actually will seal a hole from the sampoon into the sponge. That's not a problem. Here it's talking about went into the lungs. So why is there a problem? Ahula chavero itmar. That was only said from one into the other. And there's no reason for us to assume that it was punctured from one into the other. Because I don't see in front of me that there's a reason to assume such a thing. What are you showing me?
Is he saying that
and the fact is, Omer of Nachman, Hayadur the Kanta, the Inkiv, Lahade Chavre, Morgan Alek, wait a second over here. What's the difference between these cases? Hold on a minute. You're saying the Cabero. And the cavero, it's a problem. And in the intestines, Reb Nachman says the ferris cavero, it's not a problem. Because the next piece of intestine, you have the intestine curls, right? If you have a hole through the intestine. And now another piece of intestine next to it is sealing it up. He says it's okay. So you're driving me crazy. Here you're telling me, doc, if it goes from one sample into another sample, the next sample, that's no good. But from an intestine to another piece of intestine, that is good. Why is that? Omar Ravashi, this is a very important yisod that the Gemara is now about to make. Omar Ravashi, what's the matter with you? Trefus kamadame la'adare. Never ask a question from one type of trefa to another type of trefa. It's a silly kind of question. What makes you think that you're talking about things that are subtle, where each issue is completely different to say, so why doesn't it work in an intestine? You might as well say, well, if your brain can think for you, maybe your intestine should think for you. Trefas, each trefa is different. Einom rimba trefas, zu domela zu. You never ask from one element of trefa on another. Share chotchami kanva meta, chotchami kanva chai. You can have the slightest, in ways that don't make any sense, bichlal, in which something, you're going to cut now, let's say you'll cut the legs. In a certain place, you cut the legs off. So then it would be kosher, even if it's cut from high up on the end. On the other hand, if you cut through another area, which is called the somatagidin, we'll see later on, which is much lower, which you think would be much less of a problem, then it's straight. Does that make sense? You're going to cut off the whole thing, then it's kosher. You put a hole through something that's lower, then it's straight. Well, obviously, it's not. We're not looking at gross effects here. We're looking at subtle effects here. You can't ask a question like that. All I'm telling you is when it comes to the sampanoda, Reb Nachman holds a sampan does not seal a sampan. When it comes from a sampan into lung tissue, it's not a problem. That's what I'm telling you. The fact that you say, and by an intestine, it's not a problem if one part of the intestine seals the other part of the intestine, that's also true. So what? Ahu machta dishtakach besampuna rabba derei. Now there was a case where they found a needle smack bang in the continuation of the kona, the main bronchial tube, which is just an extension of the kona itself. That they brought to the Rabbanan Shmufoi, they brought that to Reb Rish Lakish, to Ramoni Bar Pakish, to Reb Shimon Bar Al-Yokim, who had said that if you find a machat in the lung, that it's straight. And here they said, are you going to say it's straight here also? To say, I understand what you're telling me, how did a machat get into the lung tissue? It's more reasonable, it punctured its way in from the outside than to say it came through the kona and worked its way into the lung. But here you see it in the kona. So what are you going to say? It came from the outside through having been swallowed, worked its way out of the intestines, and happened to come right back into the kona. I mean, you're going to say akedekaf? Or in this case, since if it were aspirated, this is exactly where you'd expect to find it, then maybe you'll also agree with the Shita Reb Yochanan that we can assume it was aspirated. So as you look at me, Rabbanu Shmufoi, they didn't want to say it was also, but they didn't want to say it was mutter either. Lo amrba, lo yisrba, lo hetter. The hetter lo amrba, kishmat hetter. They didn't have that. They said, look, we were in the Kabbal. Machat shmutzah berei is trefa. I understand that this is a little bit, this is stretching it. But I don't want to say it, so I don't want to say it's us. Yisr nami lo amrba, kima disabad, besampuna rabba ishtaka. I mean, since lemais I find it in the continuation of the kona, it certainly is pretty reasonable to say that Ema Sampuna Nakat Vasoi, and probably it worked its way through the kona in this case. But I mean, since our Kabbalah didn't make that distinction, I'm not going to say it on my own. Okay, we'll get into the liver with needles in the liver tomorrow. There's a fantastic lemaisa case of a human, Yushunada Gamaisa, someone who sued John Hopkins Hospital, one of the doctors had diagnosed what they claimed, had misdiagnosed an ear infection, and ultimately it had eaten into the brain, and the child died. And they claimed that it was all from that infection that hadn't been dealt with. And they brought together a forensic team to work out what had actually happened. And it was the most machinatic thing that they were able to prove that happened. It had nothing to do with the ear infection. What happened is that the child had, in fact, worms. And the strangest thing was that the worm had eaten its way into the brain from underneath. They proved it. Yeah. Had worked its way up through the vesha into the head, and they proved it by showing that there was fecal matter in the head, which couldn't possibly have come from the ear. And the pathologist who had done the post-mortem had noticed the smell. So they did an analysis, the bacteria analysis.
Is this in the States?
In the States. I saw it in the John Hopkins had a magazine. That's Panalea, Common's mother. She used to get that magazine. Alma Mater. She used to get the John Hopkins magazine. And they had this whole story. It was a frightening story. It was very similar to that similar sense of snow. That's the same type of thing. It's frightening. Parasites. They're awful.
But it's up to you.